We read God's word this morning, especially from Proverbs 29, but let's pick up one verse of the inspired word of God in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then Proverbs chapter 29, the first 17 verses of the chapter, Proverbs 29, 1 through 17. Our text will be verse 15 of this chapter. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Read God's word to that point this morning. Our text is verse 15 of the chapter. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Beloved people of God, baptism is a sign and seal of the promises of God to us in his covenant. And infant baptism is a sign and seal of the promises of God to us and to our seed after us in the line of generations, that though our children are conceived and born in sin, they are redeemed in Jesus Christ. Not every last one head for head, but God promises that he will always save his children from our children. Always. He speaks this organically to the church. The promise is to you and to your seed after you. As God has given the promises of his covenant, he has ordained also the means for the accomplishing of what he promises. And he reveals that part of the means by which he accomplishes the promise to be a God also to our seed after us in the line of generations, A part of the means to the fulfilling of that particular promise is faithful parents to whom he gives his elect children in the covenant of grace. Faithful parents who make vows concerning the raising of their children and go out to keep those vows to the glory of God and the good of their children. The sacrament of infant baptism without parents making and keeping these vows is an absolute farce. It's a mockery of God's word and way. The sign and seal are administered to the children of the church, children whose parents are duty-bound further to instruct them herein. Children of the church, children whose parents are God-given means that God uses whereby he himself keeps his promises. His promises, of course, are not dependent upon the parents or grounded upon the parents. He keeps his promises, but part of the means, the tool that he uses is God-fearing parents keeping these vows that they have made to lead and to guide their children into the life of a covenant child in the midst of this world. Giving that calling to parents to be that sort of a parent and a tool in his hand. God does not leave parents to themselves in the carrying out of this calling. He gives them the instruction of his word. He gives them the Holy Spirit to enable them unto this task. And he gives tools that are ordained by him for the carrying out of this calling, that they might be this tool that he calls them to be. Two of those tools are spoken of in the text for the sermon this morning. Wonderful tools, necessary tools, valuable tools. Tools that every parent not only may, and it is a privilege, but not only may, but must employ in the daily carrying out of their God-given calling and the keeping of their vows. Those tools are the rod and reproof. We take them up under the theme, the two great tools in child rearing, the two great tools for child rearing. Let's notice first what they are. Second, their unity. They are together, rod and reproof. And third, the result of their use under the blessing of the Spirit. The rod and reproof are two tools that God gives for the mortifying of the sinful nature, and especially in the case of reproof, the enlivening of the new man, so that as the Spirit works with the use of these means, the child grows in submission to the will of God out of the new man. I'm going to repeat that. The rod and reproof are two tools that God gives for the mortifying of the sinful nature and the enlivening of the new man, especially with the use of the second one, reproof, so that as the Spirit works along with these tools, the child is more and more submitted to the will of God out of his new man. If these tools are not used upon the child, the text tells us that the child is then, quote, left to himself. That is, no matter how well taken care of the child is from other points of view, no matter how nice the house is, or how good the education is, without rod and reproof, the child is left to himself. The child is, from that point of view, an abandoned child. Hebrew language is picturesque. It's a picture language. And the picture in this particular Hebrew word, left to himself, is the picture of an untethered and untamed wild animal that is just living wildly out in the wilderness, doing as it pleases. There are untamed wild animals throughout the world. In Mexico, there's dogs walking through the streets, Mexico City, doing as they please, under no authority, walking the streets, maybe going into shops and coming out. So too, children, left to themselves, from the point of view of rod and reproof, have no restraint. They run wild. They're not under authority. You can see that even from the point of view of the outward behavior of a child left without rod and reproof. There's no structure. There's no authority over that. The children are fighting all the time. They make so much noise. No one can hear themselves think. The parents can't get a hold of them. They're disrupting the life of the family always. They demand and the parents give. They manipulate the parents to submit to their will. The wild, untamed animal out there is not under the authority of anyone that's trying to tame it. So too, the children without these means, left to themselves, are like this. They're not under the God-given authority of their parents most of the time, but really have their own kind of control over the parents. They control the life of the home. They dictate the life of the family, really, if you look at it objectively. They manipulate the parents to attend to their wishes. The parents, embarrassed about it, give in to the child's wishes in order to try to maintain some semblance of control. And it only perpetuates the problem, feeds the problem more. Now, of course, there is a process to taming a wild horse or a wild dog. And there is a process to leading children into submission to the God-ordained authority over them in their home. And of course, there's going to be times of wild outbreaks of children in every home where they break out of that authority and rebellion. But there's a big difference. There's a night and day difference between a child who is under the authority of his parents and breaks out of that at times and is disciplined to be brought back in, and the child who really has the parents under his own authority. And every once in a while, the parent breaks out of that and gains some sense of control. And then it goes back to the way that it was. In those kinds of instances where the children really have the authority of the home, and to whatever degree that is the case, the reason is because of either a wrong or an inconsistent or a completely lack of the use of these two tools that God has given to restrain the old man, and especially with the second one, to grow the new man, rod and reproof. And generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, the children who live under that kind of parenting will grow up to live an unrestrained life spiritually. They may learn as they grow up, this particular kind of child in this particular kind of home, they may learn how to control certain aspects of their behavior as they grow up, because it's what you do in a society and what you do in a community. But spiritually, and underneath, the life is unrestrained and have a much harder time, these children, living the Christian life in obedience to God, in honor of His name, and to the service of His glory from a humble and submissive heart. For so many years, they have been unrestrained spiritually. The old man has been allowed to run rampant. The foolishness that's bound in the heart of the child has not been driven from him. The first verse that we read, Proverbs 22, verse 15, says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And foolishness is not only an outward thing, it's an inward thing, and it's certainly a spiritual thing. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The reality that every parent must face is that his and her children are born with foolishness rooted in their hearts. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom, of course, in the book of Proverbs is the spiritual ability to take the knowledge of God's will as given in his word and to apply that to one's life and one's situation in this world. And to do that to the glory of this God who's redeemed me and placed me into his covenant of grace. Foolishness, then, is the opposite of that. It's either not having the knowledge, ignorance, and therefore cannot apply that knowledge to one's life in the midst of this world, or it's having it, but not having the ability to apply that knowledge to my own life so that my life is in conformity to the will of Jehovah God, to the praise of his grace. Foolishness is instead conforming one's life to the will of the desires that flow out of the old man. And that foolishness is bound up in the child's heart from birth, from conception. And the child wants to conform his life to the old man desires. That's what is powerful in him. He's driven by those desires by nature. That's in him from the moment of conception. And no matter how cute the child is, and they're cute, they're so cute, and no matter how many cute things they do, and they do so many cute things, and we smile and laugh, and we should because it is cute. But foolishness is bound in the heart. And you and I have given that foolishness to them. Here is your present child upon your conception from your parents. I give you a spiritually dead nature that is active in death and rebellion to Jehovah God. And the child carries that old nature with him as he grows up. And you see, has to grow spiritually to resist that old man and the desires that come out of that old man and to live out of the new man under the praise of Jehovah God. And so for many years, as that child grows up in the home, the parents have to work to help that child to resist that old man and its foolish desires and help the child in the ability to do so by the feeding of the new man, that it might grow and develop and become bigger. Grow the children by grace. Learn to know how to live out of those desires of the new man. It starts when they're very young. With the parents' constant, consistent, faithful work from early stages on, the Spirit works. The Spirit works. He works things that only he can. And they do grow and they do mature. And the child is able then to transition to a stage of life where by the work of that Spirit for those years in his life and the continuing work of that Spirit in him, able to resist those old man desires without the parents there anymore. And to stand before the face of God himself and under the means of grace come to him in the preaching of the word that reminds him of so many things from his youth and continues to develop those things that he's been instructed in. He comes to a maturity where the parents can fall away. And he may live out of that new man, not perfectly, out of that new man resisting the old man. That doesn't automatically happen. The transition doesn't automatically take place from parent rule to a kind of a self-rule under the influence of the Spirit. The child must be restrained almost exclusively by the use of rod and reproof in the hands of the parents for the first years of that child's life. And then slowly, slowly, there is growth of the child's new man under these things. As the Spirit works so that slowly a transfer can take place where they arrive to the years of adulthood and are able to stand themselves without the parents there. Live life restrained by that spirit, by that new man that's been developed and strengthened through these years, and the old man that's been squashed through these means through these years. There's things bound him. And Raywell, daughter, and Susanna, as you bring him for baptism, that allowed to blossom to their full flowering. And that's what the old man wants, that blossoming, and that's what the devil wants and the world wants. It would lead that child into a way of destruction. And that's true for all of us, with all of our children. And the rod and reproof are given and used by the Spirit to drive that foolishness and that way far from him. Part of the Spirit's use. Children, you can know this and think about this for yourself too. There's folly bound up in your heart. Aren't you experiencing that already now? You can see that. There's folly bound in your heart, and you need your parents' work. You need the Spirit's work through your parents with these two means, rod and reproof. God has given these tools to your parents. It hurts to get a spanking. It's not nice, but you know that you need it. God has given this to them. And you must be thankful for their use of it. And if they're not using it with you, you too can understand this. And you can tell them, you must, Dad and Mom, you must. If you love me, you will. The first one, the rod. One of the tools God gives and that He uses in the hands of the Spirit to mortify, to kill the old man. To grow the child into submission to God's word out of the new man is the rod, the rod. The rod is controlled and measured. Notice those words. Controlled and measured physical chastisement applied to the child's bottom upon a show of rebellion. That is given as a means to communicate to the child there are consequences for disobedience. The rod is controlled and measured physical chastisement applied to the child's bottom upon a show of rebellion as a means to communicate to the child the consequences of disobedience. God commands this means of discipline be applied to the children that He gives to parents in His covenant of grace. It is not an optional thing. It is not to be viewed as old-fashioned, as outmoded, as outdated. It is the command of His holy word. And though there are situations, of course, and there are, or perhaps a child adopted has been physically abused in the past, that you wouldn't use this particular form of discipline, or maybe there's a special needs child that doesn't understand all the way, you have to discern those things, but those are exceptions. Under normal circumstances, one disobeys the revealed will of God if he does not give to his child this gift of physical application of rebuke. Proverbs 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou smite him with the rod, he shall not die. Verse 14 of Proverbs 23, thou shalt smite him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Verse 24 of chapter 13, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And then, of course, our text that commands the rod and reproof. The purpose of the application of this physical chastisement is to show the child that there are consequences to rebellion against God. Consequences, therefore, to rebellion against God-given authority in their life. And it is pain on their bottom that gives a unique lesson of these consequences to them. That they understand, that they can remember, does not damage them. But it gives them a unique lesson of this pain. That going this way, child, transgressing the boundaries of God's law, it's going to be painful for you. This is something they need to learn now and for the rest of their life. It's going to be great, great, great pain later, much greater than this. If you get older and you transgress these boundaries, God's spankings are a lot harder than mine. But you learn right now that going against God-given authority brings a pain for you. As such, when it is applied, the rod is a means in the hands of the Spirit to wake the child up to what sin is. To wake the child up to see that he has a rebellious nature in him that wants to transgress and that would lead him into a way that is outside of the Word of God and a way of pain for him. It shows him that he has something in him that wants to go that way. And he needs to be restrained. In the absence of these physical chastisement, when the child walks in a way of obedience to the Word of God, shows him that walking in a way that's right is not painful for me. It's a way that I will experience good. And therefore, it's important to resist the foolishness of my heart. He learns these things in a very concrete way. It's important to obey God. Do you see, it's a rescue mission then. It's a rescue mission. It's rescuing the child from submission to the foolishness that's bound up in his heart by the administration of this discipline. It is love to direct, to correct, to mortify his old man, to awaken him to this folly that's in him with the use of this rod. The rod must be used to back up what you teach them is the way things go in a believing covenant home. Just like church discipline backs up the proclamation of the word that tells the way things go in the lives that are in the covenant of grace, so too this discipline, if the church would preach the word and then discipline sporadically and inconsistently, what would that do to the church? So too, if we teach our children and then discipline them sporadically and inconsistently, what does it tell them? Well, when the football game is on, then it's okay to walk in a way of sin. It must be used. It must be used consistently. The second tool God has given to parents by which he restrains and weakens the influence of the old man, and especially now with this one, enlivens the new man, is reproof. Reproof. The rod is an action. Reproof is words. Words that the parent uses to discipline the child and to lead the child in a right path from his heart in love for God. If you want to know what reproof looks like, you don't have to go any farther than this very book of the Bible from which this text is drawn. The book of Proverbs is itself a book of reproof. It is Solomon reproving his son, speaking words to correct, to rebuke, to instruct, to lead, to encourage, to love. And all of those are wrapped up in reproof. It is a book of inspired biblical reproof given by a parent to child. And that's why the book of Proverbs ought to be one of the favorite books of every parent. And it ought to be of great use as the children grow up. I use it in my home with my children in the mornings. It just takes one verse. And you don't have to go every verse. If you don't know what it means, find one that you do know what it means. But use it. It's given for this purpose. It's a father reproving his children. Use it with the children as they grow up. It's a marvelous book of reproofs. But then not only from the book of Proverbs, all the Word of God. And reproofs aren't always direct quotes from the Word of God, but the parents speaking to the children based on, of course, what they know and the wisdom from God's Word that they have. Reproof is the application of the wisdom of God's Word. to the mind and heart and life of the child, of the specific child or children at this specific stage in their life, in the specific circumstances in which they live. So that as the parents themselves grow in wisdom under the proclamation of the word on the Lord's Day, as they grow in wisdom in their own study and reading and reflection, in fellowship with fellow believers, in their own devotional life, they're taking all of this and they're applying it to themselves, of course, but they're also applying it to their children. This is the fuel. This is the treasures, the repository from which they draw as they reprove, correct, instruct. It's God's word through you to them. As God said to Moses, you shall be as God to them. You shall be as God to them, in a sense. Reproofs come forth in many different types and varieties. Sometimes there'll be sharp rebuke for rebellion, controlled but sharp. Sometimes it will be urgent warnings, walking in a wrong path. Sometimes it will be careful instruction on a particular point. Sometimes it will be careful instruction regarding a specific tendency or pattern in your child that you are seeing. And you give an extended time of instruction and reproof for this pattern that is showing up in their heart and mind and words and actions. Sometimes it's going to come forth as encouragement. Encouragement from the word. Children too get down and discouraged at their own sins and their own battles against their own foolishness in their own heart. And encouragement is needed from the word. That's reproof too. Encouragement. Keep going forward, child. Sometimes it's the giving of motivation from the promises of the word of God, from the glorious gospel, from the truth of sonship that can never be taken away from God's children. You are this child, and that motivates you to keep going. Your sins don't ruin it. Sometimes it's even praise for obedience, declaring God's own approval. God was pleased with what you did there, my child. He was, and I declare that to you on his behalf. He was pleased with it. But you see, in all these ways, it's the word of God skillfully employed in the hands of the parents to the children of the home for his glory. But at the end of the day, when you whittle it down, reproof, beloved, is always a repetition of the two main words of the Bible under which all others can be summed. Its application of law and its application of gospel to the mind and heart of the child. This must run like a line through your reproofs. Law and gospel. Law that rebukes for not following God's way, leading them to sorrow of heart, confession and repentance. And no, it's not always going to be with great conviction and tears flowing, but over the long term and leading them to confess. Law for that. And then upon such a confession, the application of gospel, you are forgiven. You are forgiven, child. And isn't God great to forgive you? Isn't he wonderful? We deserve to go to hell for our sins, and yet he forgives us. And you apply the gospel to your child and you say that to them. And then you say, aren't you grateful, child? Aren't you grateful to this God? Don't you love him? Don't we want to live for him? And you bring the law back in as a guide of gratitude. It's the Heidelberg Catechism in its threefold division, which teaches you how to be a parent. Law, gospel, and then a guide for gratitude. Again, you're bringing that to them time and time again in your reproof. We don't discipline. We don't reprove our children like the world does. Doesn't stop with don't do that, do this. we have to break a rebellious attitude and heart? Yes, but it's more than that. It's to grow them in the new man. You know, the air, the helium of the law and gospel and law applied to them again in their heart. It grows up their new man and lifts them up in obedience to Jehovah God. It's reproof especially that gets to the motives. It shows the rebellion of the heart and God's forgiveness to grow the new and to slay the old. Use it. Use it. Use reproof. Use reproof at the supper table. What do you talk about at the supper table? Here's an opportunity to ask them questions, to draw them out, and then in the real life of their circumstances and what they say, to apply the Word of God, to instruct them, to speak to them with encouragement, joy, and rebukes. Use reproof when you use the rod. Use reproof at the time of giving a spanking. Spankings should include reproof, instruction, talking about what was sin, praying to God for forgiveness and assuring the child that he is forgiven, and then asking God to help the child to grow in obedience to him out of love. Because these two, rod and reproof, beloved, must go together. They're to be used together in the raising of our children. The text does not say the rod gives wisdom. And it doesn't say reproof gives wisdom. It says rod and reproof gives wisdom, both together. Rod and reproof. There's a danger, of course, that we use only one or the other. But even before we get to that, there's a danger that we don't use either, that we have to talk about for a moment. A danger that we use neither of these, or use them so infrequently or so inconsistently that it's hardly to the benefit of the children under our care. And if that's the case with us, the only reason is selfishness and laziness. I don't want to get up and go over there and give a careful, wise spanking and speak and take the time to speak and go through law, gospel law. The game is on. I've had a rough day. It's me time. And if there's a pattern of this, pattern of this selfishness and laziness. And beloved, we have to come back to the fact that this kind of parenting is the command of Jehovah God Himself. It is God's call upon the parent. God has placed this upon us for the benefit of the child. And grandpa and grandma can help, of course, absolutely. And others can help at different times, to be sure. And we need breaks at times, of course. But God has given them to me as a parent, and to my spouse as a parent, and not to them, but to me. And not to the daycare people, to be sure, but to me. And this is my calling, and this is my life. This is to be the focus of my life, to administer these things to them, to grow them in the fear of the Lord with this. The fulfilling of my calling is right here. So there's a danger, of course, that we don't use either of these or use them sparingly or inconsistently. But there's also a danger that we use only one and not the other. There's a danger that, for example, we only use the rod and not reproof. And if that's been our temptation or that's been our practice, it's probably because we have the tendency to discipline in anger. And so we only use the rod to vent our anger upon the child. Or if we do use reproof with the reproof is a rod, and only to vent our anger upon the child. But the rod is not a tool, parent, for you to vent your anger upon your child. The rod is not a way to make the child pay for his sins. It's not the way that the child makes it up to you. It's not the pound of flesh that you require from him to make payment to you for what he has just done to you. Christ pays for the child's sins as much as he pays for your sins. And just as God's chastisements upon you are not his punishments, they're not his vengeful wrath upon you by which you atone for what you have done, but they are his fatherly chastisements, painful at times to be sure, but fatherly discipline to correct and to put us upon the right path. So too, our spankings, our rod applications are not vindictive justice. You must atone now, and here it comes. But it is instead a corrective, a fatherly corrective that puts them back upon the right path. It shows them there are consequences. It's a warning and a turning back to the path of righteousness. And we discipline in such a way that it's merely the venting of our anger upon a child. We're making them pay. We're no better than a big dog that bites a little dog. When that little dog gets in his way or annoys him, and the child knows it and the child feels it, and it provokes the child to anger, and the child is not corrected by it, but grows in bitterness. But I guarantee you this, if we do that, we're not using the rod and reproof together, because reproof, beloved, is these words of restoration, these words of returning. And used together, it becomes a rescue mission. I'm rescuing my child. Use them together. The word of law, gospel and law, seeks the child's welfare spiritually. And when we go to our discipline thinking about this, I'm going to use reproof along with my rod, and not reproof to be merely a rod, but to catch them, to rescue them, then my rod is affected by that too. My rod is a means to apply the reality of law and the seriousness of sin against it. And I'm going to speak unto the gospel that will restore and bring back. Rod may not be used by itself. Maybe in some instances you have to, but generally it's not used by itself. And reproof is not used alone either. And now, I don't mean by that every instance of reproof has to have the rod along with it. Of course not. We use reproof in all its various different types throughout the day. But I'm referring to the fact that there are some who don't use the rod at all. They use only reproof and no rod. And this is against the word of God here in Proverbs 29. When there is rebellion, that's when the rod needs to be used. When there is rebellion, and reproof therefore must be used for rebuke of rebellion, the rod must come along with it. There's no bite to the word of the parent, and no bite to the word of God to the child without it. And if this is the temptation, and if this is the pattern, that there is little to no use of the rod generally, it's because we think we're far too loving to ever use this with our child. We tell ourselves that. But even though the word of God calls us to this, and that it is love for them, we just love them too much to ever give them any form of physical punishment. This is the problem with Eli in the Old Testament, who did not restrain his sons Hophni and Phinehas, and to whom the Lord gave the message that his line would then be cut off from the covenant of grace. We can be so good at twisting things in our minds. I just love them too much to do this. But in fact, Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod, what? Hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." If we love them, we would do this. It's hard for us. Actually, we love us. That's the problem. If we love them, we do this hard thing in a right way, in a wise way, in a careful way for them, because we love them. Along with the reproof, rod and reproof together, in a way that they know this is love for them, this is love for them, this is rescue for them. Rod and reproof together, consistently, as the children grow up, is God's ordained way. Just like the preaching and church discipline together is God's ordained way in the church. Rod and reproof. So that over the course of the child's life growing up in the home, in the use of these things, he's able to grow and to mature. The new man is enlivened. The old man is pushed down. He starts to see the foolishness that's bound up in his own heart. And he grows. It comes to this point where he can stand on his own 2 feet before the face of God, out of his new man, resisting the old man. Of course, over the time of the childhood, the application of these two things in ratio is going to differ. Very young requires more rod and simpler reproofs. As they start to get older, more in-depth, more thorough, comprehensive reproofs, and less rod, of course. And then there's different children, too. Some children require less rod all the way through, some more. There's room, of course, for this kind of wise application. But throughout their life, differing degrees and ratios, rod and reproof. Do you love them? And this is a large part of how you show them that you love them. Not in how new their clothes are, first of all. Not in how much money you've saved up for them for college, first of all. There's nothing wrong with that, of course. But in the thorough, dedicated, careful, wise use of rod and reproof throughout their childhood growing up. Grow us, Father, as parents, and grow them under our parenting. That the results that the text gives here may be true in our case by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are two in the text. First, the effect of that parenting under the influence of the Holy Spirit through that parenting is God's blessing, so that we as parents don't experience the shame of a child left to himself, abandoned without rod and reproof, or sparingly used in their life. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mother to shame. Father too, of course. Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. But the text emphasizes mother because mother spends her time with the children at home. And dad goes to work. Father is ultimately responsible. The buck stops with him, of course. But it's focusing on mother here as her time is with the children, generally, more than the father. The child grows up unrestrained, without the use of rod and reproof, brings shame upon his parents, shame before others, shame at parent-teachers' conferences, shame before the church, shame before God for opportunities missed, shame because now it's too late and there is no reset button. Shame that can be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, too, of course, in the way of repentance and forgiveness. But where consequences stand. There are times, of course, when the home is faithful in the use of rod and reproof, and yet the child grows up unrestrained and foolish in his life, and the Spirit doesn't work through it. And there's probably nothing in all the world as heartbreaking as that. And then, Though there's a temptation for there to be shame for the mother in that situation, there may not be. There may not be shame. The mother and father know, though they haven't been perfect, they've carried out their calling before God. And I must bow to God's will in spite of the use of rod and reproof. And that's not the norm. It happens, but it's not the norm. The norm is that faithful parents raise God's own children with the use of rod and reproof. And the Spirit works, and the effects of their work under the blessing of that Spirit are that the child grows up, does not bring shame to his parents, and the child lives in wisdom before God and before his parents. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Give wisdom. What a thing to see. As a child grows up, the Spirit working wisdom in my child. Oh, there's nothing more wondrous than that. That ability to conform one's life to the will of God, to His glory, from a heart that loves Him and honors Him and knows the repose of soul in His grace, that knows His mercies and goodness to him. And though there's so much sin, even in our faithful child rearing, so much imperfection, so much failure, God grants wisdom to the children through this. The Spirit works it. It isn't our work. It's His. But He uses these tools. Isn't that what you want for your children? More than anything in all the world, God give them wisdom, true wisdom. When they have that wisdom, then the word of verse 17 is true too for the parents. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Rest and delight. The delight in seeing them walk in wisdom. The delight in seeing them live in faithfulness to Jehovah. The delight in seeing them grow up and marry in unity of the faith and for the glory of God's name and for the raising of their own godly seed. The rest and the delight of seeing them now applying faithfully rod and reproof to their children after them to glory of God's name. There's delight. God's grace that you say, I don't know how that happened. Even under the faithful use of this, there was so much sin, so much sin. God worked in spite of it. His Spirit worked through it. And delight God's work through us. Frail. Frail. Sinful. Weak. Parents. Whom He used. For the glory of His name. The good of His church. May you see it. Praise be to Him. Amen. Father, grant this blessing upon us, we pray. Strengthen us by this word to be faithful to our callings. For the glory of Thy name and the good of the children Thou hast entrusted to our care. In Jesus' name, amen.